Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, I'm Jad Abumrad.
And I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab. This hour, our topic is diagnosis.
This next story begins with a dad, two sons, and a question. What do you do when you notice somebody's different? I heard it from reporter Gregory Warner.
Hello.
Hi.
Gregory.
I'm founder Gregory Warner.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, so just so you know, it took me over a year.
All right, you can sit down.
To finally get an interview with Byron Frowner.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the air conditioner...
I can turn...
He's the dad in this story. And I'm up in his apartment in the South Bronx.
You'll have to excuse all of this loose paperwork.
Are you moving out or are you moving...
No, might look like that.
It was that messy.
I don't want to move this too around.
Okay. But
boxes everywhere, crates, piles of stuff.
Okay. Let that go. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's in disarray.
Who is this guy?
I'm a retired electrical engineer.
He worked for Subway most of his life.
Now I consider myself a science researcher.
And at 71 years old, he's basically teaching himself
quantum physics. That's what all the books and stuff you see around. I love that stuff.
And he's written this book called
Einstein's Era, criticizing special relativity, Einstein. I sent it to the New York Academy of Sciences, Caltech, MIT, Harvard, Stephen Hawking. Still waiting for him to get back.
Most people just ignore him.
These are the ravings of a maniac.
But then he points to this letter on the wall.
Yeah.
From
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I know that name.
This major scientist.
Yes.
The head of the Hayden Planetarium in Manhattan.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it says,
how dare you? You're just an engineer.
And he's beaming.
Why?
Why do you smile when you talk about that letter from Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Because I know how foolish it is. Einstein, they didn't even want to read his paper. They said, who is this guy upstart? He's just a patent examination clerk in Bern.
Byron Frowner is a man who's proud to go against the grain.
What other people do, I don't really do.
And that's especially true with how he raised his son.
So now, Gregory, you're going to do some kind of a story on Emmanuel?
His youngest son.
Right.
Emmanuel.
Okay.
And that's why I'm here. Mostly focusing on... To question him about how he raised his son.
All right, I'd be glad to.
Okay, great.
So here's Emmanuel.
Hi, I'm Emmanuel Frowner.
Emmanuel, could you take a drink of water for me?
Thank you.
No, don't thank me. Yeah, take as many drinks of water if you want. He's 28. So what things are you good at, Emmanuel?
Writing essays and making sure they are grammatically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling.
And as you can hear...
Analyzing stuff.
There is something going on with him.
And not talking that much, I guess.
Now, if you ask Dad, he'll say...
Emmanuel's an excellent student. A future Nobelist.
He's going to win a Nobel Prize.
We never know.
But if you ask Blair...
I'm Blair Frowner.
Who's that?
Emmanuel's half-brother.
I'm about 20 years older than Emmanuel.
He'll tell you that even as a little kid...
Very little.
Like 5 years old...
There was something odd, and I just didn't know what it was.
It's a bunch of little things.
Yeah.
Like... He'd look at you really weird.
Kind of like a doll face expression. He could stare at me without blinking for 15 minutes at a time. And I would notice, because you didn't blink once. Then there was the speech.
I did not talk as much as other people.
There was something going on with Emmanuel, but I did not have a word for it. And so I pushed several times to get speech therapy.
But every time he did, Dad would just say,
are you kidding? He may have trouble stumbling and stammering, but...
He'll grow out of it. I stuttered too. Blair, you also stuttered.
Einstein, he didn't speak a word till he was six. He was considered retarded in school.
He would say that this was some temporary problem that would pass.
I didn't see anything that was screaming out for attention. He was doing his work. He was interested in the Knicks. We would go out endlessly in cold weather to the park, and it seemed like things were okay.
What about Emmanuel?
Well, I knew that I was a nicer person.
A nicer person?
Yeah, and that I was sensitive, and I don't automatically look at people in the eyes, the face and stuff, you know?
So as long as Emmanuel was a little kid, this wasn't such a big deal. But then he got older.
He was around 10 years old?
And it was, I think, at the point where other people would point it out.
What did they say?
Well, I have been called retarded, an idiot savant, the N-word and stuff.
They lost the innocence of the elementary school.
Emmanuel would come home with bruises on his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something that I constantly thought about and worried about.
And I said, yeah, well, it would be really good for him to get professional help with that.
But if you ask Dad, he said the problem wasn't Emmanuel.
No.
It was
all the other people.
The bullies.
The group. In this neighborhood, it was hard. There was fighting, constant fighting, right down the street over here. People involved with crack. These are big guys, you know. I felt that it could have been a dangerous situation.
So his solution?
I decided that I wanted to teach Emmanuel homeschool.
Was just to pull his son out of school.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about this at the time?
Well, I really didn't know.
Up here.
So we're looking in the closet here.
I thought that whatever way he has kind of turned in.
This is a binder from one of his classes.
That if he got bullied and tormented in going to school, that it would turn him further in.
Well, let's see what this is.
But that if he were here, he could develop along his own line till he became old enough that they wouldn't want to pick on him. Oh, look what we turned to. Nature, nurture.
It was a big deal for Dad.
You hadn't homeschooled anybody else before, right?
No, I had to get books. I had to go meet the principal.
He left his job,
sat down with him,
submitted a curriculum to the school.
And I had to register with the state of New York.
Created this syllabus for his son.
Grade 10, integrated math, course 11.
And they would wake up each morning.
Rational numbers, geometry.
Do their lessons.
Isosceles triangle, equilateral triangle.
Have some lunch.
This is the work that he did at home.
And in the afternoon, they'd go bowling.
Bowling?
Emmanuel was an awesome bowler. His dad would videotape him.
Today is Tuesday, December
28th,
1993.
Is it taping?
It's weird footage. It's weird to watch because Emmanuel is such an incredibly good bowler.
Yeah, he took it out.
But
beautiful shot.
He's always by himself. Tape after tape of nothing but Emmanuel. Nobody else in the picture.
I would fantasize about going on a tour and winning some titles and stuff.
Did you think about joining any youth league or something like that?
Well, I vaguely thought about it, but for some reason my dad did not want me to.
I think you swung out.
Yeah, I did.
I think so.
Meanwhile, his brother is just...
Blair's in Canada.
At a distance.
Yeah, he followed a girl there. And one day, he picks a book off the shelf.
The DSM.
And the DSM is...
The
Diagnosis
Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Okay.
And I started just to do, I guess, what a lot of people would do who get a hold of this thing, is to start diagnosing all of their friends. I diagnosed my girlfriend, I diagnosed my dad, and then I saw...
Right there on the page.
Marked impairment in the use of multiple nonverbal behaviors such as eye-to-eye gaze, repetitive behavior patterns, problems seeking new friends, problems being able to understand what someone must be thinking, problems. I went down this whole list, and everything seemed to fit. Marked impairments and eye-to-eye gaze.
Problem is, every time he tried to call his dad...
Dad, what do you think?
His dad would say...
Just stop whining.
Go away.
He'll just go through this.
And he shut him out.
He basically cut communication.
I know my son.
He would always tell me that whatever I had would go away when I was an adult.
What does an adult mean? Does that mean 18?
20, let's say.
Okay. So you thought, as soon as I reach the age of 20, then I won't have these problems.
Yeah.
So did you wake up on your 20th birthday and think?
I thought that maybe things would change right away, but they didn't.
After that, Emmanuel says he got really depressed. And that's how things might have stayed. Until Dad had a heart attack. Blair comes to the hospital, finds Dad unconscious on the bed, and he realizes this is my big chance.
Because he was not in a position to intervene.
And you're thinking...
I'm thinking the first thing that's going to happen is that we're going to get a diagnosis because we've been waiting for it for so many years. 26 or older or whatever.
I think I was like 25 maybe.
He's going to get help. You know, he has to get help.
New Year's Eve, all right. 2005.
So where are we coming into now?
We're at 42nd Street.
Times Square.
Times Square is one of Emmanuel's favorite areas to hang out, and I figured I wanted to be on his turf.
So they're outside. The crowd is just beginning to arrive.
It was starting to snow a little bit.
And rain some too.
Yeah.
And Blair turns to Emmanuel, and he says,
Have you ever heard of autism? I said, I highly suspect that you have some form of autism, and I want us to find some way for you to get a diagnosis.
10, 9.
Oh, and
I said,
7, 6.
Don't breathe a word of this to Dad.
3, 2, 1.
Doctor, how do I pronounce your name?
Evdokia Anagnostou.
And pretty soon after New Year's?
Evdokia Anagnostou.
And where are you from?
I'm Greek.
Emmanuel gets his diagnosis.
He was right here on this couch. I did get a feeling from our beginning of the interaction that he was going to meet criteria for autism.
And a month later...
She told me that I was on the autistic spectrum.
It was official.
Okay. Affable.
Even more, yeah.
Affable.
Great, good.
And so at the age of 26...
Assemble.
Mm-hmm.
Finally...
Audible.
Moria.
His life completely changed.
Audible.
So I gave him a tape recorder to record his life.
Hello, it's me, Emmanuel.
He's meeting with a speech pathologist a couple of hours a week.
Afternoon.
Also, he's joined this program...
Adaptations.
...and started making friends...
What do I say?
Well, anything.
Hello.
Hey, Jason.
Peace out.
He got a girlfriend.
Hey, it's me, Emmanuel, once again. And
really?
There's one lady that I haven't talked about yet named Norma. And we went to Central Park and we took pictures. And it was great.
But wait a second. I thought that people who diagnosed with autism don't... The definition is they don't want to socialize.
Well...
It's not because I don't want to, but it's just... hard to do, you know?
But here's the thing about Emmanuel. He's had this whole new life. He hasn't told Dad about any of it.
About anything?
Not the girl, the friends, the diagnosis. His dad doesn't know anything's different. So how long have you been keeping it a secret?
It's been since 2005, right?
Yeah.
So basically, for the last 2 years, Emmanuel's been leading this double life.
Hmm.
Outside, he's a person with autism. Then he comes home, nothing's wrong. Why?
Well, I'm just afraid that Danny won't really believe it.
But he knows he's got to tell his dad who he really is.
Yes, I do.
And he keeps saying he will.
I would say within a month.
Soon.
I'm not quite sure.
I am a little bit nervous about telling him about my asthma. Maybe within a few minutes or so.
I may tell him in like 2 weeks or so.
Another day or so.
I mind to tell him after I meet Blair.
I'm gonna probably tell him tomorrow.
Maybe.
I don't know yet. Maybe I'm just thinking about it a little bit too much. I don't know.
And then finally, one night.
Hi, it's me. I just want to say that I told my dad about my diagnosis.
I said... I really have something important to say, and don't get angry, and then I told him that I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, and he asked me what it was, and then I told him it is high-functioning autism.
I was shocked. That would be a good way to put it.
So do you think he has Asperger's?
Yes. Yes, I do. When I look at this syndrome, for a lot, good parts of it, it's Emmanuel. But I never at any point felt that Emmanuel was in need of any deep psychological or psychiatric help.
But, I mean, what makes you qualified to say that?
Just being a loving parent.
As I'm talking to him, we're sitting there on the couch. In front of us on the coffee table is all of Emmanuel's notebooks from age 5 onward.
And they're really good stuff. I mean, it's stuff that you and I would write.
He saved it all. But the question that I feel like I gotta ask...
Byron, I just have one more question on my list, if I could ask you that one.
Is, now that you know that there is something wrong with your son, that there always was this disorder, that it's incurable, do you think you did the right thing?
So do you wish that he had gotten the diagnosis earlier?
No.
Why?
Because I think that he's better off at this point in time.
Why wouldn't it make a difference to know earlier why you're acting so strangely?
I didn't want Emmanuel to get a diagnosis that would put him in a box, like a label.
And then Dad says to me, look, I mean, if I had let the school give him some kind of diagnosis, they would have thrown him in special ed.
And say, oh, he's a retard. Look, he can't even talk.
I mean, that would have destroyed him.
It would cause irreparable damage.
I asked the doctor, was there any truth to that?
If Emmanuel was put into special ed, hypothetically.
If he was in a District 75 class.
The technical word for special ed.
He would not have reached his academic potential. He is a graduate. From St. John's with a degree in psychology. Kids who graduate District 75 don't do that.
Just to put that in perspective, Emmanuel comes from a neighborhood where about 10% of the kids ever graduate college.
And my GPA was 3.4 and change.
Wow.
And he's got Asperger's.
So now we're kind of in the opposite. We're kind of vindicating, really, what his father did, right?
Well, in terms of his academic achievement, his father did the right thing. The problem with his dad's choice, and he had no way of knowing at the time, was the lack of peer groups, which he missed out on.
It seems like a cruel choice, but...
It's a cruel choice.
So if you were your father, and you were raising your kid at that time, would you have made the same choice he did?
If I had known what I know now, then maybe I would have maybe begged him a little more. For me to interact with others who were like I am, who are like I am.
That story from our correspondent, Gregory Warner.
Craig's reporting was made possible in part by the Rosalind Carter Fellowship for Mental Health Journalism. Thanks to them. And thank you to Lulu Miller for producing that piece. We will continue in a moment.
Message 12. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Wallace Foundation, where arts and education leaders can learn about how to bring the arts to more people. Downloads at the Knowledge Center at wallacefoundation.org.
Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide, on the web at fordfound.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
End of message.
Radiolab is supported by Cozy Earth. When you think about summer comfort, words like breezy or soft maybe come to mind. With Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear, you'll get the comfort of home wherever you roam, allowing you to elevate your summer getaway no matter where or even if you're getting away. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and made from top-notch materials, including viscose from bamboo that can turn any living or sleeping space into a sanctuary of luxury and comfort. Their loungewear and pajamas offer you their signature level of comfort while maintaining an elegant fit so you can look cute and be comfy even if you're taking a long flight or car trip. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for Radiolab listeners. Get 35% off site-wide when you use the code Radiolab at www.cozyearth.com. That's 35% off at cozyearth.com, code Radiolab. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth.